Joshua 24:15 is a pillow verse. Pillow verse is the type of verse that gets stitched into a pillow and made for display. You know this verse, Joshua 24:15. Whether you know that you know it or not, I know that you know what this verse says. Joshua famously declares, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And you see that verse a lot. You know, that is a very, very popular and famous verse. That line of the verse is the end of the verse. And if you open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24, we'll look at the totality of the verse along with a couple of verses before it and after it. As you open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24, I'm happy to say good evening again. Thank you so much for being here. I want to study this verse together with you. It's an important one, and it will make a very good study for us tonight. Joshua, at the time of Joshua chapter 24, is near the end of his life. In fact, if you flip open in your Bible just to the very next chapter in the Bible, Judges chapter 1, verse 1, you see there, Joshua has already passed away. And so, what we find in Joshua chapter 24, in that very famous verse 15, are among the final wishes of this great man who took over in Moses' place after Moses died and was gone from the children of Israel. Joshua was the successor leader, and he was extremely successful. It was under Joshua's tutelage, you remember, that the children of Israel went into the promised land and occupied it. Now Joshua is nearing the end of his life, and he has some sage words for the children of Israel. Now, Joshua knows their affinity for idols. It's hard for us to understand, I guess, how wrapped up they were in idolatry. But the children of Israel, they certainly were lovers of idols. You know, they love them some idols. And Joshua is aware of this. How could you not be aware of it? And some of the things that Joshua has to say to them addresses in a preemptive way their love for idols. Joshua is encouraging them to stick with the Lord. Now therefore, Joshua 24, verse 14, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." Now maybe that reminds you of John 4:24, where Jesus says that those who worship the Lord must do so in spirit and in truth. I think we have similar concepts here. Joshua says, "Serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods that your fathers served." They had idolatry as a part of their background. You know, they grew up with it. "And serve the Lord," Joshua continues to plead. "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you'll serve." And then Joshua famously says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's talk about what Joshua's doing here. He's talking to them about serving the Lord. And in doing so, Joshua is introducing them to the preferred choice. We'll start there first. Number one, the preferred choice. We'll start with the happy news, and that is that God wants you to serve him. That's absolutely a true story. God wants you to serve him. It's not a trick. It's not a scheme. It's not a joke. It's not some sort of bait and switch thing. We live in a pretty cynical society, I dare say, where things don't they often are not what they appear to be. You know, the sticker price always is going to have some things added to it. You know, I bought a new cell phone here a while back, and I thought I had it all figured out, you know, because I saw a commercial that told me how much this thing would be. And so I march into the place and figure that's all it'll be, right? Well, wrong, because there were some fees. There were some some one time this and just one time that things that were going on. And so it was like, okay, I see what's going on here. This is not quite what I thought it would be, you know. I didn't quite have my senses properly calibrated to how things worked. And we kind of have, you know, we kind of have this sense about us that things are not going to be as easy as it appears they will be. Things are not going to cost what it appears they will cost. And when somebody says something to us, we kind of have this sense that says, you know, he might not really mean what he says. You know, who knows whether or not he's really going to do what he says or not. Well, it's easy, I think, to kind of take that sinister outlook and apply it to God and think, you know, it can't be this easy. I mean, God wants to save us, but it really can't be that easy. There has to be some exclusion terms. There has to be some fine print going on that just basically undoes everything that we think we understand about God's grace and his willingness to save. But when we're talking about God, that's not the way it is. Listen, God desires our salvation in a major, major way. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 is a great verse on this, along with 1 Timothy 2, 4. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 lets us know that God is not willing that any should perish. How about that? God is not willing that any should perish. God does not want anyone to be lost. Question for you here. How many bad people has God known? Answer, all of them, because God knows everything, right? Well, how many of those bad people did God look at from way up there in heaven and say, you know what, this guy, I hope he ends up lost. He doesn't deserve to be saved. How many of those bad people did God say that about? Answer, none of them, because God wants everyone to be saved. That's the truth. There's no bait and switch going on. There are no exceptions to that. God wants everyone to be saved. God wants you to be saved. And God is able to save us. We just have to do some things. So the prophet Joshua talks about the preferred choice. It's God, always going to be God. You make sure that you put yourself in a right relationship with him, because serving God is always going to be a blessing. It will never be anything other than that. But Joshua goes on, number two, and he talks about the possible alternatives, because the fact of the matter is, you don't have to serve God. He's not going to make you serve him. The fact of the matter is, you can do whatever you want to do. And if you like the idea of serving God, great. Joshua here in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 24, he wants to convince you of the decision to serve the Lord. But if you don't want to do that, you don't have to. No one's going to make you. No one can make you. There are a myriad of other choices you can make. You don't have to serve God. Truth is, you can serve or worship just about anything you want to. There are a number of possible alternatives. You can serve the God of convenience. You see this alive and well in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, verse 25, as the Apostle Paul is here arrested for being a Christian. He's presenting his defense before Felix, and Felix listens to what Paul says. Paul is preaching, Acts chapter 24, verse 25. Paul is preaching about self-control, about judgment to come, about righteousness. And Felix, he's afraid, and he says, when I have a more convenient time, I'll call for you. Felix is bowing down here before the God of convenience. And I've got news for you. This may not be much news for you, but there have been many, 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 many people since Felix who have been caught worshiping the God of convenience. I'll do it all later. You know, the story goes that the devil doesn't mind if you worship God. Devil doesn't care if you worship God. Devil doesn't care if you give the Lord your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Devil doesn't have a problem with you doing any of those things as long as you just wait until tomorrow to start, right? Because the devil knows we'll get so caught up putting it off, that one of these days we're going to run out of tomorrows, and there'll be no time left to put things off to. Felix, who knows? Who knows whether he learned that lesson or not? I certainly hope he did, and I hope we see him up in heaven. But I know odds are Felix kept on putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, because he was a loyal devotee of the God of convenience, right? Just wait a little longer. Everything will be okay. We'll get around to it one of these days. One of these days. Well, we're going to run out of days one of these days. And it's important for us to make sure that we hunker down and start doing the things the Lord wants us to do now. But he's not going to make you do any of that. Listen, you can wait your whole entire life away. The Lord's not going to force you to do anything different. You can serve the God of convenience. You can serve the God of money, the God of luxury. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 6. 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Famous verse here, another one. The love of money, Paul says to Timothy, is the root of all kinds of evil. You know that part of it. Here's the next part. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. I believe I said 2 Timothy. My bad. 1 Timothy 6:10, Paul says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And many have strayed from the faith in their greed. You think about the foolish farmer, Luke chapter 12, verse 20. Luke chapter 12, 20. He was told that fateful night, your soul will be required of you this day, Luke 12, 20. And then, kind of a silly question comes next. After you die, whose will all these things be? Remember him? He had aspirations to pull down all of his barns and build bigger barns and fill them full. And he was told by the Lord, tonight, you're going to die. And then what's going to come of all this stuff that you're so proud of? Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks about the futility of trusting in riches, I guess. Solomon talks about the lifelong pursuit of and accumulation of things. And then, you know, the circle of life happens. You pass away. And once you pass away, you have zero control, no control over what's done with your stuff. You know, you can leave it to your children and hope that they'll make wise decisions with it. You can leave it to a school or to a charitable organization, and again, hope that they'll make decisions that reflect your will, but you have no control over it. So you can, if you want to, not serve God and serve wealth and luxury instead. Well, that's a bad idea. It's an idea you can make. It's a choice you can make, but it's not a very good one. Now, there are no shortage of gods that you can serve. Satan is called the god of this world. You know that verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this world has blinded their minds, Paul says. Little g God, I like to note when I think about 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Because the devil, though he's worshipped like a god, though he's revered as a god, the devil's no god at all, no real god. The fact of the matter is, there are no good choices to make other than the one that Joshua is talking to us about, and that is to serve the Lord. He talks to us about this preferred choice. Listen, this is as good as it gets. It doesn't get any better than this. This is what you should do, right? This is the path you should take, Joshua says. But then he goes on to say, look, you can, in truth, do whatever you want. If it seems evil to you, if you don't like the idea of serving God, okay, do whatever you want to do, because the Lord has given you that free moral agency. Free moral agency is a weird thing, isn't it? God has made us with the ability to do whatever we want to do. He has a way for us. The Lord clearly has a way for us. But he's not going to force us to do that. Well, why didn't God, if he wants everyone to be saved and no one to be lost, why doesn't God just make us obey him? Why doesn't God make everyone hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized? And why doesn't God command our feet that we'll come to the church building when it's time for us to meet for Bible study and worship? Why doesn't God stop us when we try to do something that's wrong? That's not the way it works. Yes, God wants us all to be saved. Don't ever question that. If you ever wonder just how badly does God want me to be saved, think about Jesus. And I think a few thoughts about Jesus will really get into our minds how badly God wants us to be saved. He wants us to be saved so much that Jesus voluntarily died so that that could happen. Voluntarily died when he didn't deserve to die so that that could happen. That's how much God wants us to be saved. Jesus is praying for this cup of suffering to pass. Three times he prayed. And it's breaking his heart and it's hurting the Lord to see this injustice take place and unfold. And it's all happening because God wants you to be saved that much. But he's not going to make you be saved. Well, why not? If God wants me to be saved so badly, just make me do all the good stuff and make me not do all the bad stuff. No, because what God really wants is love that's requited, love that's returned. God loves us. And what God wants is for us to love him back. And in order for that to take place, there has to be a choice. There has to be a decision for us to love God back. If God just makes us do everything, we're not expressing our love. You have children, you know how it works. It's easier just to do everything that your children need to do, right? There's a big long phase of their lives where it's just easier for you to swoop in and do the things that they need to do, right? It's simpler. You know what they need better than they know what they need at times, right? But that's not what we do. That's not what good parents do, because we try to instill and we try to foster and we try to create, we try to teach. And the Lord is trying to get us to love him back. He's not going to make us. If the Lord suddenly took control of all of our bodies and made us only do the right things and kept us from doing all the bad stuff, that wouldn't be love. That would be slavery. We wouldn't be a creature of choice. We would be an automaton. We'd be a robot, right? And that's not what God wants. What he wants more than anything is for us to love him back voluntarily. And even though most people won't do it, God knows that a few of us will, and he's willing for it to happen that way, because he wants our love to be returned. You can do whatever you want to do, break God's heart or not, but what God really wants is for us to choose him. And Joshua lets us know this is a personal decision. Number three, it's a personal decision. You choose for yourself whom you're going to serve. Nobody else can make this choice for you. Boy, don't we at times late at night wish we could make this choice for somebody else. I have a whole lot of family that I wish I could make them be saved, right? I wish that I could decide for them to serve the Lord. That would be great if I could just make them do that. But again, it doesn't work that way. You know, and you're reading in your own Bibles with me, Joshua 24:15, that this is a personal decision. You have to decide to do this. Joshua says, famously, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Truth is, Joshua was only in control of himself, but he was going to so conduct his life that he would encourage and inspire his family under his direction to serve the Lord right along with him. It's a personal decision. It's a personal decision for you to make right now. If you need to, respond to the invitation by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. That is the choice for you to make. We want to encourage you as much as we possibly can to make that decision. It's the best decision you'll ever make. It's the preferred choice, but I'm also going to shoot really straight with you tonight right now that there are many, many possible alternatives. Truth of the matter is, you don't have to do that. No one's going to force you to do that. We're not going to lock you in this building until you hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. God is not going to force you to do that. We're not going to force you to do that. You can, in truth, do whatever you want to do. God made you that way. But if you decide to serve the Lord, it must come from your own brain and heart and will. It's a personal decision like that. It's something that no matter how much we love you, we can't decide for you. No matter how much the elders or the preacher or your family members love you, they can't decide this decision for you. It's yours to make. Perhaps you're ready to make it now. That would be great. We're ready for you. If you are ready to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, we would love to help you with that. Or to study that with you tonight, if that's where you are. Many of us have already obeyed that plan of salvation. We need to know the responsibility that we have to uphold this commitment. It's not a one-and-done thing that we do and then forget about later on. No. This decision to serve the Lord is constant and ongoing. And maybe you need to repent of sin so that your relationship with God can be right. Please do that. And if we can pray for you, we'd be happy to. While we stand and while we sing, won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.